Today on The Journey, from Steve DeWitt.
You are engulfed in the love of God, Christian. And that experience of the presence of the love of God is an enduring reality for us, time without end. We are kept in the love of God for Jesus and indeed by Jesus.
Does your spiritual resume include knowing the right people? Today on The Journey, Pastor Steve DeWitt examines Jude's surprising introduction, choosing to be known as Christ's servant rather than his half-brother. We'll discover why God has no grandchildren and how personal faith trumps even the most impressive spiritual connections. It's the conclusion of a message titled Amazing Love. And you can also access the full message online at thejourney.fm. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Jude, verse 1, as Pastor Steve begins today's lesson.
Let me just read the first two verses. We're going to spend our time really in verse 1, but here's how Jude begins. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. So let's begin with the first word, which is Jude, and ask the question, who was Jude? Jude here, notice that he makes a claim to fame, and his claim to fame is his bloodlines, specifically his brothers, who are the siblings of Jesus. What are their names? James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And the Jude that we have in front of us is the Judas of Matthew 13, 55. And so what we see then is that Jude is noting his famous brothers in his opening salutation. But notice that he does it in different ways. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. I also want you to note the humility of Jude here. Why do I say that? Well, you see that he connects to his brother James, but when it comes to his brother Jesus, he doesn't say the brother of Jesus, he says the servant of Jesus. And so we note here that the same womb that bore Jesus bore Jude, and yet in spite of that, Jude realized that his brother was his savior. And he says, I'm just a bondslave to Jesus. And so here's the point, and we'll return to this later in the message. In the kingdom of God, there is Jesus Christ, and then there's all the rest of us. There's no next in line, heir to the throne. There's Jesus, and there's all the rest of us. Because in the final analysis, we are all just servants of the king, even if the king is your brother. Back to the text. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, or kept by Jesus Christ, or for Jesus Christ. I said it right the first time. Kept for Jesus Christ. So we have here then a standard salutation. This was a normal way that people started letters in the New Testament or in the first century. And so if you read other letters of the New Testament, oftentimes, Paul in particular, will begin with a kind of similar salutation. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the Romans or whatever. And so he's just kind of doing the normal beginning. And he identifies himself here as a servant, which is what Paul did. Peter did that in 2 Peter. And we see here that even the great leaders of the church did not see themselves as anything more than servants in the kingdom. And maybe that's why they were great leaders in the church. He moves on to address his audience and to those, he says, who are called. And he begins here a kind of trilogy. To those who've been called, one, who are loved by God the Father, two, and kept by Jesus Christ. And we don't know who the those are here. We're not sure who he wrote this to. Clearly to Christians. And these are Christians who are facing toxic false teachers and false teaching. And we'll get into all of that. But for now, Jude writes pastorally and reminds them of what is true of all Christians, which means if it's true of those Christians, it's true of the Christians right here in the room. So be encouraged here, because Jude talks about the love of God. The love of God for us. And here's the trilogy. Number one, we are called by God. He says to those who are called, what I am calling God's prior love. The calling of God is the invitation of God to sinners, to human beings, through the gospel, to join his kingdom by faith in his son. Here's the thing. There is another kind of call of God that is different than the general call of the gospel. And this is the, theologians call it the effectual call of God to those who are chosen. Maybe this illustration will help. Think about at a hotel, at least back in the Stone Ages, you were able to call the, if you had a meeting the next morning and you wanted to make sure that you woke up, you would call the front desk and you would say, hey, I need a wake-up call at 6 a.m. Now with smartphones and all that, I don't know if anybody even does that anymore, but again, back in the day, this is the way that people would wake up to get to a meeting on time. And so then the next morning, the front desk would call you at 6 a.m., ring, ring, and they say, hey, are you awake? You go, yeah, and hang up and then get on with your day. A wake-up call is what it was called. So God's calling then is his preset wake-up call by the Spirit to our spiritual selves, where he determines that on such and such a date, through means of other people for sure, but by his power, I am going to wake up that sinner from spiritual deadness, which is our condition, and I am going to wake them up spiritually. I'm going to make them alive. They will be born again by the Spirit. And so when you became a Christian, that was the wake-up call of God, the summons of God to faith. So the general call is the call, everybody wake up. Humanity, wake up. Jesus is the Savior. Come and trust and believe in him. But the effectual call of God is his personal wake-up call to our hearts. And to note that without this call of God, none of us wake up because we are spiritually dead. And this is another indication that salvation is by God's initiative and by his will and purpose. It does not come from us so that no one can boast, Ephesians 2:9. So if you're a Christian here today, you are a Christian because God called you. He loved you before you were even a you. That's why I call this God's prior love. He loved us before we even existed. He loved us in eternity past. He determined that he was going to save us. He called us unto himself, and we were graciously saved. And that is something to celebrate and wonder at. So that is the first of the trilogy, the prior love of God. But he goes on and he talks about the present love of God. Notice what he says, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, beloved in God the Father. And this is one of these little kind of strange translation things here, and we probably have different ways it's translated amongst the Bibles present in the room here. But here's the challenge is, what does it mean to be loved in God? Like if I came to you and I said, does your mama love you? You would probably say, I am loved by my mother. And if you're not loved by your mother, you are in a heap of trouble, right? Praise God for the love of mothers, okay? But if I said, hey, are you loved in your mom? Okay, that's creepy. I'm not even sure what that means, to be loved in my mother. What Jude writes here is not loved by God, even though some translations go with it to keep the creepy out. The accurate is beloved in God. What does that mean? Let me draw a little analogy here. We are kept alive by oxygen. We all would admit that, right? If there was no oxygen, we would start gagging and we would die in a matter of minutes. So we are very comfortable saying that we are alive by oxygen. But is it not also true that we are alive in oxygen? That oxygen is the ever-present reality around us, right? We could find the fastest guy in the room and say, here's $1,000, try to outrun oxygen. He couldn't do it, right? Why? Because everywhere we go, we are in oxygen. And Jude here says that God's love is like that. Yes, we are loved by God, but in some ways, even better, we are loved in God, that his love is the ever-present engulfing reality of our life. There is nothing that we can do to get away from it. It will always be there. Jesus illustrates it slightly different when he says this in John 10, I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And what a powerful picture that is, that we are in the hand of Jesus, and that hand, no one's strong enough to take us out of Jesus' hand, but lest we be concerned, we are also in the Father's hand, and no man can snatch us out of the Father's hand as well. We are loved by God, but we are in the love of God. Always. Cannot get away from it. It is his present engulfing love in our life. I think of the old hymn, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast unmeasured, boundless free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to my glorious rest above. Christian, God loved you before the foundations of the world. He loved you before you were you. His prior love, but also his present love, that it is all around us, it is always with us, it will never leave us, it will never forsake us, is also something to be encouraged by today. Praise God for his love. In fact, the last line of that song gets at the third in the trilogy. It says, leading onward, leading homeward to my glorious rest above. What is he getting at when he writes in that hymn? That's not a present love. He's looking to the future. He's confident in the future love of God. And so is Jude. Notice what he says, the third, and kept for Jesus Christ. This is the keeping love of God. This is the enduring love of God. It is the guaranteed that God is going to love us in the future. So again, called is God's prior love. Beloved in the Father is present love. Kept for Jesus Christ is the guaranteed future eternal love. And that word for kept, it's the word for watch, to look carefully. It's a kind of guarding. And this guarding is done by Jesus himself. And even the tense of the verb, it's not like a one-time activity. Yeah, I was guarding in the past, but I'm not anymore. No, it's an ongoing, continual reality. This love for us is kept by Jesus Christ. It's this kind of love. Paul, he gets to Romans 8, and he's seven chapters, he's explained the mystery of how God saved us. He gets to chapter 8, and he just gushes over the love of God and the keeping power of Jesus. He says this, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have that same sense there from Paul, like there's nothing that can take this away. Not even death, which is a future reality, can separate us from the love of God. No, it is kept by Jesus for us. And we see in this the eternality of the love of God. Again, he loved you before you were a you. He loves you today. You are engulfed in the love of God, Christian. And that experience of the presence of the love of God is an enduring reality for us, time without end. We are kept in the love of God for Jesus and indeed by Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Jude 1. Let's just spend a little time with some application from Jude 1. Here's my first application point, which is that we see in this that gospel salvation is non-entitled. As I noted earlier, the brother of Jesus refuses to drop Jesus' name or his relationship to Jesus, doesn't pull the string. He doesn't work it to his advantage in any way. Why not identify yourself as a blood brother of the Savior of the world? Why call yourself a slave to your own blood brother? And I want you to see here that this is an example of what happens when the gospel and the grace of God gets a hold of our hearts. It produces this non-entitled response to the grace of God. We see it here that it shows that no matter who you are, no matter who you're related to, no matter who you know, it doesn't matter, because in the end, every single one of us have to personally trust and believe in Jesus, even if we're related to him. And this includes Jesus' brothers and Jesus' mom. If there was anybody that you would think would maybe get a pass in this, it would be the woman who birthed Jesus. And yet even Jesus' mom needed to be saved by her son. Her son had to become her savior, and praise God he did. Dick Lucas says it this way: it shows that no one is too privileged to be exempt from the need to be converted. And this is relevant, I think, in our church, in that we have a lot of second, third, fourth generation Christians running around this place. And it's very easy for people who know people who are involved in kingdom work or know people who have served in some distinction to sort of think, I must be in because I'm connected with them. I hear this often. I meet lots of people every Sunday, and oftentimes people, when they meet me, they lead with their calling card. I'm Bob Smith, and my daddy's a preacher. Oh, that's good to know. That's great to hear. My sister's a missionary in India. Wonderful to hear that. That's great. Praise God for that. And the sense is that because I'm connected to somebody who is doing something for Jesus, that I kind of get swept in with them. Like I'm connected to them, and so therefore I'm in with God. And we see here now the ultimate example, the brother of Jesus. I mean, if there's anybody that visited a church who might sort of quickly be ushered to the front row, you know, and honored with great honor, it would be somebody who shared the same womb as Jesus himself. And Jude says, brother to James, slave to Jesus. Or as it's been said, God doesn't have any grandchildren. The second generation, the third generation, the people that you know, the people that you can claim to be friends with who are doing cool stuff for Jesus, even your family members who are involved in this or written that or done that, it doesn't matter. What about you? What about you? Have you understood that the grace of God is an individual thing? None of us get in because of who we know or who we're related to. What about you? What about you? You might have a brother, but are you a bond slave to Jesus? James and Jude had to believe in their own brother to be saved. You would think that would be tough. Think of your relationship with your brother. Mary had to repent of her sins and turn in faith to her son to be saved. And my point is this: if Jesus' family needed to be saved, I don't care if your daddy is Billy Graham. You need to be saved too. So what about you? Have you personally, like Mary, James, and Jude, turned in faith to Jesus Christ and personally put your faith and trust in him? You need to. Jude did. And we see that there are no entitlements in the kingdom of God. And that's my first application. Here's my second. And I mean this is such an encouragement. Regarding the love of God, that to live the Christian life involves and in many ways requires trusting the unknown things of the future to what we know to be true about God. And today, specifically, the love of God. And Jude here now, very pastorally, he starts his letter with the love of God and the keeping power of God. He ends his letter with the keeping power of God, and we should be glad that he does. Because the 23 verses in between those two, he says scary stuff. Like if you took out the beginning and the end, none of us would have assurance of salvation and we'd all be freaking out. But he doesn't do that. He starts with the love of God. He ends with the keeping power of God. And I would say that we should do the same. So here we are on Sunday. What do you know about what's going to happen tomorrow, Monday? Nothing. You can go home today and live in fear about Monday. But what I'm saying is to think about Monday, what is unknown, by what you know on Sunday. And that is, Christian, that God loves you. That love is an eternal love from eternity past and eternity future. That everywhere you go all the time, you are engulfed in the love of God. You couldn't get away from it if you tried. And so on Monday, you are going to be in the love of God. And Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. Tomorrow, God still loves me. Could be good stuff tomorrow, could be bad stuff tomorrow. But I know that God loves me. And if he loved us before he made us, and if he called us in order to save us, and if he keeps us according to the same eternal love that he called us, whatever Monday may bring, God's love will always be with us.
What a rich and comforting truth. Jude may open with only a few words, but they're absolutely packed with gospel assurance. Called, beloved, and kept. That's who we are in Christ. You're listening to The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt, and the conclusion of an introduction to the book of Jude titled Amazing Love. If you missed part one, or you'd like to replay today's lesson, visit thejourney.fm. You can also subscribe to The Journey podcast for easy listening on the go. Just grab your smartphone and search your favorite podcast platform for The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt. Well, we want to take a moment to tell you we're deeply grateful for our listeners, for your partnership in spreading the uncompromising truth of the gospel across the nation. The Journey touches countless lives daily through radio and digital platforms, standing firm against the lies that pervade our culture. In a world filled with spiritual deceivers and alternative gospels, we remain committed to proclaiming that Christianity is essentially about one person, Jesus Christ. And together, with your support, we're helping genuine Christians recognize and reject counterfeit teachings while embracing true faith. From those wrestling with life's big questions to hearts yearning for deeper spiritual connection, The Journey provides clear biblical teaching to men and women around the country. These meaningful encounters with Scripture happen because of your faithful support. Time and again, we hear stories of lives transformed by the essential truth that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man, nothing less. And we're determined to expand this vital outreach, especially in today's shifting cultural landscape. Would you join us in this crucial mission with a generous gift today? You can call us at 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. Or you can give online at thejourney.fm. I'm Tim Svoboda, inviting you to join us tomorrow when Pastor Steve explains that although Christians are already perfectly loved by God, we need his love to multiply in our lives. Hear a message titled, Multiplication Signs. Tuesday on The Journey with Steve DeWitt. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.